This is the Jaguars Scoreboard Show.
Jaguars Scoreboard Show.
JP Shadrick and Mike Dempsey look back at today's Jaguars game, as well as the rest of the NFL, and take your phone calls. The Jaguars Scoreboard Show is brought to you by Brooks Rehabilitation, Farrah & Farrah, Geico, Baptist Health, Ticket Exchange, and by Everbank. The Jaguars Scoreboard Show begins right now.
Scoreboard Show is underway on 1010XL. JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey. Jags fall in overtime in Indy. 16-13. The final score. Phone lines are open. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Jags offense outgained the Colts. They outgained them on the ground. They outgained them through the air. Blake Bortles moved the offense. The Jags defense forced a couple of turnovers, held the Colts to a couple of field goals in regulation, a handful of punts, and with the missed field goals at the end were the killer. The missed field goal at the end of regulation that could have won it. The missed field goal in overtime by Myers could have won it. Vinatieri's field goal in overtime did win it for the Colts, and that's the killer.
Yeah, didn't outgain him on the scoreboard. And really, in the end, all the stats, we would have taken the being on the short end of the stats if you're on the right end of the scoreboard when it's all said and done. Let me be clear, JP, as I'm sure most of the people listening now are just listening a few minutes ago. I'm not calling for Gus Bradley's head here. I'm just talking about what the reaction of the fan base, and I understand your point. It's four games into the season. It's four games into year three is what the typical Jag fan is going to say. They're going to say, look, you know, we're now, 36 games in, and we have 8 victories and 28 defeats in that time period. So it's not just a 1-3 record that they're going to be judging the outcome on, and this is supposed to be the year that it's built and the Jags are more competitive. Yeah, they were competitive today, but again, you're going up against a team that is not a special group of talent outside of the quarterback, and the quarterback didn't play today. And the bottom line is you had them. They were there for the beating today, and you let them wriggle off the hook. And, you know, it's going to be – it's a short plane ride home, but it's going to be the longest short plane ride that this team has had, I think, in a while.
Yeah, it's frustrating. You could hear it in the voices in that locker room, certainly from Jason Myers when he spoke with Jeff Lagerman, Jonathan Cyprian. Though he had a good day defensively, you know, the collective group here didn't get it done today. So the Jags fall to 1-3. They'll go to Tampa Bay next week to face the Buccaneers team that's got a rookie quarterback who slung it around today for 4 interceptions, so maybe the defense can get something done against him next week as well. Got to bounce back at some point, and hopefully it's this next week. So, yeah, that'll be the storylines this week. The kicker, coaching, everything will be up for grabs this week. We talked about it in the first hour of postgame here about some of the positives, the offense moving the ball. Blake, for the most part, looked good today.
For the most part. I mean, yeah, certainly he missed some throws. He threw behind a couple of guys that if he had hit him in stride, maybe they catch and run and pick up even more yardage and key first downs. I didn't think he had a bad game overall. But, again, it comes down to points on the board, and the Jags didn't put any on the board after halftime and through about 10 minutes of an overtime period. So almost, you know, 2.5 quarters worth, I guess almost 3 quarters worth of football.
Yeah, the good looking Blake was in the first half for sure. The second half, punt, 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 missed 53 yarder at the end of regulation, punt in overtime, missed 48 yarder in overtime. That's the offensive drives for the Jags in the second half and beyond.
Correct me if I'm wrong, outside of last week where it was a foregone conclusion when it was 30-3, the Jags got the first touchdown. The Jags have, in the other three games, they've managed 1 field goal in the second half, and that was the one that beat Miami, right? They got shut out in the second half against Carolina, got shut out for most of the second half against Miami, got shut out for more than 2 quarters worth today with the game going into overtime. So something has to change with the offense to match that first half production. It's not overwhelming production, but it's good enough. Put up 13 points in each half. You're sitting on 26, you're going to win a lot of NFL games with that kind of total. The defense, for the most part, did the job today. For the most part, I say, because really that drive where the Colts got that touchdown in the first half with the 5 defensive penalties and a tackle that wasn't made on Fleener when he was short of – was it Fleener? I think it was Fleener.
Yeah,
right?
He was
short of the sticks. That got him go. It was third down. And that got him the initial first down, and all the penalties came after that play. So you make that tackle short of the sticks, and, you know, they're punting, and maybe it's a completely different football game, but it didn't happen. So
nope. It did not.
There you have it. All right, shall we begin? 1-800-355-NFL1.
Sure.
Right at the top of the board. He's always loyal. We're going to go to him. He got in first today. Saqib on the south side, how are you?
All right, guys. Hey, I'm going to say a few stuff real quick, okay? Let me just... I'm tired of positivity. I'm tired of all this stuff going on. Like you said, Mike, 3 years and how many wins? I think Gus Bradley is the most positive person in America, but it doesn't translate to wins. If wins, what matters? And this, he's losing this team. I'm done with it. I mean, I can't take it no more. I'm gonna get a heart attack at 32 years old. I'm gonna get a heart attack, man. I mean, I'm tired of same old thing every week. We're gonna get better. Penalties killed us. I mean, Hasselbeck has not started a game in 3 years, and he comes in there and looks like Andrew Luck. That's not bad. That's bad. And it's done, man. I'm done. They're gonna lose next week to Tampa, and then I'm done with them.
All right, Saqib, I'm not gonna tell you to feel better. I mean, I understand the emotion.
You feel what you feel, right?
He's wrong right now. I'm not gonna guarantee I'm not gonna go as far to say they're going to lose to Tampa next week. I think they have a great opportunity to win that football game, but I'm not trying to sugarcoat anything. You don't lose again to Matt Hasselbeck. You should not lose this game, period. And I get it. They're an NFL team. Those guys are paid as well. If you can't win this game in this circumstance, that's what makes you question can they go? Who can they go toe-to-toe with and expect to come away with a victory as you go forward in the season? Doesn't really matter what you expect. It matters what you do on the field, and they didn't do enough on the field to get it done today. 1-800-355-NFL1 if you'd like to get in. Justin on the west side, you're up next here on the call-in show. What's up?
What's going on, guys?
You tell us.
Oh, you know.
Yeah, another second-half meltdown. That's three this year. I mean, we squeaked out a win at Miami, but there's no reason we shouldn't be sitting at 3-1. And like you said before, you know, Gus Bradley, super positive, but at some point you've got to produce W's.
Yeah, I mean, everybody loves Gus, and that's the thing. Everyone feels bad, at least I do, when you're critical of Gus just because he is a positive guy. And I don't think there's the slightest hint of anything, but what you see is what you get with him. I think that he is as genuine a person as you're going to meet. But, look, he gets it. He's not naive. This is a results-oriented business. And ultimately, the one guy whose opinion matters on the future and the direction of his franchise is Shad Khan more than anybody else. What is his tolerance and patience level? You know, maybe he'll say, hey, you know what? We were competitive. We went toe-to-toe. I don't know what his reaction would be to this. I would hope he would be upset. I would hope that he realized this is a game that was there for the winning. I'm sure he does. I don't expect anybody to call in with a whole lot of look on the bright side today.
I know, and I'm probably going to get hammered for saying this, but as I said in the previous show, it's four games into the season. It is the third year, I get it. It's four games into the season. I just don't see anything like that going on this early in this season.
Oh, I'm not. Really look, it may not happen, but I understand the sentiment. If you feel that way, if you say enough is enough, I get it, right? Because it's not just – Jag fans don't look at it as just simply four games. I think you're right, JP. I think it's very – you'd be hard-pressed to think that there's anything that's brewing on that front right now inside the building.
Yeah, and if you don't think Mr. Khan wants to win, then you're –
of course he does.
Sorely mistaken, because he wants to win. He understands the process, though, that it takes. And this is – though it's not a fun part of this process, this is – you still got to learn how to get over the hump of these games, and they're still trying to learn that.
But that's the thing. They chose this path as their process.
That's right.
To rip it down to nothing and to build it up from scratch to a degree that rarely, if ever, has been seen in the National Football League. But that was their choice, that this is the process to take. And other teams turn it around more quickly. Now, is it sustainable? Will you tell me, how many times is it sustainable unless you have the franchise quarterback? They hope they have the guy in place with Blake Bortles. But even when you have that guy, you know, teams have some ups and downs from year to year. You know, this idea that everyone's going to come in together, grow together, all of a sudden bloom into maturity, and they're all going to be great at the same time. I mean, that's the hope, right? But the further into this you look at, you say, well, you got to question, are all these guys playing up to where you hoped they would be and thought they would be at this point in time, and you're going to lose guys. You can't – I mean, everyone – they're going to have a lot of guys coming up for contracts at the same time, and they've got a lot of cap space. I'm sure they're thinking ahead on all that as well, but – you know, when you say it's the process and he understands he had to be patient, he bought into Dave Caldwell's vision of how to rebuild this football team. Ultimately, it's on Dave Caldwell and Gus Bradley to prove that vision to be the correct way to go.
That's right.
Up until now, they haven't gotten the results. Even if they've had, there are encouraging signs, but I can't come away with from this game. I'm not encouraged. I mean, there were good things that would happen, but the opportunity lost to me overshadows those things on this occasion.
That's a fair way to feel about it. Let's take a timeout on the Scoreboard Show. Kiss Game Day parking hassles goodbye with the JTA Stadium Shuttle. 5 convenient park and ride locations to choose from for Jags games, with tickets starting at only $7. Visit jtafla.com for more information. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. This is the Scoreboard Show on Jaguars Radio.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show, continues right now.
Jags fall in overtime in Indy, 16-13. The Scoreboard Show continues. J.P. Shadrick, Mike Dempsey. Phone lines open, 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. People are hot. They're hot after this one today, Mike.
They are hot.
They should be.
Their phone lines are burning up, so let's get out to Bartram Springs and talk with Thomas next up here on the Scoreboard Show. Hi, Thomas. How are you?
Hey guys, just had one observation, and that is Adam Vinatieri, 41 years old, still around, got a leg on him, puts him through the uprights practically every time. Why did we get rid of Josh Scobie?
He's not Adam Vinatieri. Why did the Patriots get rid of Vinatieri?
Well, they
get a younger, better guy, right?
The thing is that he's still playing. He's putting it through the uprights. We had a guy that could get points.
Vinatieri missed a 27-yard field goal in the opener in a game.
All right. He's still putting
– all right.
Well, you just hung up on him.
I didn't hang up. I put him on hold so he can't talk. There's a difference, okay? I mean, honestly, he's not – Adam Vinatieri is arguably the first kicker that will ever – or the second kicker after Jan Stenerud that will get elected to the Hall of Fame. Yes, he's outstanding. Just because he is a veteran doesn't mean you keep a veteran kicker because Vinatieri's good. Scobie's been terrible this year. I'm not saying Meyer's been any good. Meyer's may be joining Scobie this week on the unemployment line. That's a distinct possibility, I think. I mean, you come in, you have two chances to win a game for a team that hasn't won many games, you know.
Oh, where are you going to find a kicker? What kicker? Where are you going to get a kicker?
Why would the Steelers then cut Scobie? Same thing. You go. I mean, if your guy's not getting it done, you got to go find somebody else and give him a shot. Not saying they're going to do that. I'm just saying that is a distinct possibility. Gus Bradley had an opportunity to give Jason Myers, according to Jags Twitter, after the game, a kind of a vote of confidence, and he kind of sidestepped the chance to do that. So, you know, I don't know. I think that's going to be something up for discussion.
Here's Ryan O'Halloran's tweet about 30 minutes ago, beat writer for the Times Union. He says, Gus ignored my question about having lost confidence in Myers. So, there you go.
Right. I'm not firing anybody. It's not my job, right? I'm just saying that here it is. It happens, all right? This is, you know, Josh Scobie's been around this league for a long time. Steelers weren't going to wait around. Hey, you've blown too many opportunities. Same exact thing, JP. Missed two field goals in an overtime loss in the division.
Yep.
It's week four. You've already missed a couple of kicks, a la Jason Myers. Other than the fact that he's young, what's different between the two? You know, young or not, you got to perform. And he had a chance to win the game for them twice
today,
and didn't come through. But in terms of because Vinatieri is a veteran, that they should have kept Scobie, that makes total nonsense.
That doesn't make any
There's
sense.
No sense in that whatsoever. I mean, you know, by that standard, Chad Henne's more of a veteran than Blake Bortles. I guess because Tom Brady's a vet, that means they should have stuck with Henne as a starter. I mean, think about it. One has nothing to do with
the other. Hasselbeck won a game today. Maybe they'll stick with him.
Maybe they'll go with him, right, because he's 1-0 on the year. I mean, come on. Let's go to Charlie in Arlington next up on the Scoreboard Show. Hi, Charlie.
Hey, Mike. Great show tonight.
What's up? What's on your mind?
Let's get more positive here because
finally
tonight I noticed we didn't put up enough points. Hey, you still here, Mark?
Gotcha. Where would we be? Yes, we're right here.
we're doing good. Let's get it more positive in these calls tonight. You know, we're not putting up enough points to win. You're not going to win with 13, 14 points. You got to put up 20. And I noticed Jameis Winston for Tampa put up like 25 points. And you got to put up more points. And it's not so much the negativity or positive. You know, Gus Bradley is the answer to the Jaguars. You can beat him up all you want, but if you blow it up, you're not going to get anybody any better. So.
Okay, so there's never going to be a better coach than Gus Bradley?
I think he's a great coach, personally. But, you know, it's a lot of bumps in the road, and you can't keep, you know, we blew this whole thing up 2 or 3 years ago.
Let me ask
you.
When
you blow everything up in the NFL,
let me ask
it's really
you, let me
tough
ask you,
to start
Charlie,
from scratch.
What's,
so
what, Charlie,
I believe
Charlie,
in what
Charlie,
doing,
Charlie, Charlie, let me ask you a question and then respond to it, please. What is your criteria for being a great coach?
If you can be positive, you got to motivate people.
So you're a positive motivator.
They've got to get more grit in their doing their stuff. I think he's got to get in their face like no tomorrow.
So, but you said he's a great coach. Define why he's a great coach. You're telling me what he needs to do that he's not doing, but tell me why. You just said they're not going to do any better than Gus Bradley. He's a great coach. Why is that?
He's a motivator. He wants to be positive,
and,
like
and they're,
today's
and,
game.
Okay, but he wants to be positive, but the results are not positive, right? I mean, isn't a coach judged on wins and losses?
Good point. He's not Joel Osteen, that's for sure.
Okay. All right. I gave him an opportunity. Look, I'm not trying to get Gus out the door here, but if you're going to say be positive, tell me what there is to be positive about other than Gus is a great motivator and he's a very positive guy. I'm talking about let's be positive about some results that the team has seen, not having a positive attitude. There's, you know, I don't know.
Who did he say at the end there?
Joel Osteen, the preacher, the televangelist.
Oh, that's okay.
Whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah. Let's get Robert in Keystone Heights next up here on the Scoreboard Show. Hi, Robert.
Hey, guys. I'm a big fan of T.J. Yeldon, but he looked a little bit gassed, a little bit tired at the end of the game. And I was wanting y'all's opinions on maybe could we have given Corey Grant maybe time to maybe get in there and see if he could pop one through the line and maybe get into the secondary and gain a couple more yards. And what's going on with Bernard Pierce?
A good question. Pierce, we saw him on a couple of passing situations.
Or two snaps.
Yeldon had 22 carries, 105 yards today, including that 36-yard run towards the end. The only other running back with a touch today was Toby Gerhardt, and that was a 2-yard loss. It was late in the game, too. So they rode Yeldon all day today.
But 22 is not an obscenely amount. The only time I noticed he was gassed was after the 36-yard run.
I'd be gassed, too.
Right, and then they took him out, and they ran Toby Gerhardt for one play, and he lost 2 yards, and that was it. And, you know, I mean, T.J. Yeldon's your horse. I mean, you ride your horse in the NFL if you've got one, and they feel like they've got one in him. And he produced. He's 22 carries for 104 yards. He was, you know, about 4.5 yards a pop today. He was fine.
As for why, you know, Pierce wasn't playing more, who knows? I think that's the answer. They wanted to ride Yeldon. Yeldon's the guy, you know?
You go with the guy, whoever the guy is that you feel is the best, and you – you know, you put it on him, and I thought he answered the bell today.
But that's cool. I'm being positive now, being positive. Those are just warning. I'm being positive. Those are some nice runs you saw from Yeldon today. He carries the pile a little extra, a few extra yards, shoulder down. He hits the hole, and the tough yards are yards that he can get. At least he's proven the first few games of this season to be able to do that, and today cash it in with a 100-yard game.
You're not going to run for 5 yards. If you average 5 a carry, you're going to run for 5 yards in every play.
That's right.
Every 20-yard run means you're getting stuffed several times to average it out. That's the game, right? That's the game of football, particularly in the NFL. Anybody who has a high average per carry is probably ripping off a couple of long runs. He had a solid day. It was a spectacular day. It was a very good step in the right direction for T.J. Yeldon.
4.8 per carry. Take that all
I will
day.
Too.
And they certainly did today. We'll take a timeout on the Scoreboard Show. Your calls, phone lines open, 355-NFL1, 355-6351. Jags fall in Indy, 16-13 in overtime. This is the Scoreboard Show on Jaguars Radio.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show, continues right now.
Scoreboard show rolls along. Final score in Indy, 16-13 Colts in overtime. Time for the injury report presented by Baptist Health System. Changing healthcare for good. Official updates from the Jaguars on a few Jags banged up today. Aaron Colvin with an aggravated shoulder. He was holding that left shoulder after kind of landing awkwardly. James Sample, shoulder contusion. And linebacker Paul Posluszny with an ankle sprain. All three of those guys unable to finish. And more information will be available after further testing. Of course, Gus Bradley, as always, scheduled to speak with the media and likely again tomorrow. At around 1 o'clock has been the normal time for that on Monday. So we'll get more update on the injury situation and his comments coming up tomorrow.
Yeah, never like to see guys go out, but, you know, Sample did come back in, I think. You know, so, look, it's the nature of the game, man. You're going to get guys hurt, unfortunately.
Oh, don't we know, Mike?
I know. And this team's thin as it is, but, you know, you got to go out there. I thought that you can't point to injuries today because the Colts will say, really? we had a pretty significant one as well, and that was not the only starter that was out for them. Greg Toler is out as starting cornerback for them. Dwayne Allen was out, starting tight end. And Todd Harriman's is out because he hasn't played very well this year, not because he was hurt. But they had their own to deal with. All right, 355 NFL1, you ready?
Yeah, sure.
Let's get back to it. Lucas is in Gainesville next up on the Scoreboard Show. Hi, Lucas.
Hey, I'm doing good. I just want to say I like the deep shots that we saw off the play action. That was nice. Something I didn't like is we were had third down on the 1 yard line, and we ran some short pass to Hearn. Whenever, you know, I didn't see how, you know, he could have ran all the way out there. Gerhardt obviously was good to go because he took a couple plays. So I would have liked to see them run the ball on third and one on the 1 yard line, and then go for it on fourth down there, because if you would have gotten a touchdown there, you would have won the game. I liked the play where they had Trips right, sent Yeldon in motion for a screen to the outside because they had to get out of bounds on that play. That was a good play call. You know, good play call by Olsen, got in what you thought was range for your kicker. But, you know, that leads me to my final point is, you know, you get them in range, you got to convert with the kicker. So
no question about it.
I mean, that's
the third and one is the real issue I had. Third and one.
It
on
was
the
actually is that I just had to look. It's actually third and two. I don't know exactly where the ball is. Officially, was third and two.
Potato.
I mean, 1 yard versus two is a difference. I'm not arguing your point. We haven't seen the Aluwalu Gerhardt package that was so effective in the preseason. So I'm not saying you're wrong there. I'm just being, you know, for clarity's sake, it wasn't just, you know, 1 yard. It was a couple. But regardless, I mean, your point is your point, and I don't think it's necessarily a bad one. You know, you had T.J. Yeldon. You ran it from the 4 yard line. Okay, you had second down and goal at the four, and after throwing an incomplete, this is after first and goal at the six is what you had. If I'm confusing myself here, but you had T.J. Yeldon to the Indianapolis two for actually ran for 4 yards. That's okay, what it was. He was at the six. He picked up four down to the two. Now it's third and two at that point in time, and they elected to throw. You know, I mean, I'm not trying to nitpick with Lucas. I'm just saying that was the circumstance, and you certainly are. You know, they may have run it in with Gerhardt in that instance. They may have gotten stuffed. Who knows what could have happened there? But
they completed a pass if they'd thrown it a different way.
They may have, right? They could have.
Who knows?
A lot of things could have happened.
They could have drop kicked a field goal, and you know.
Overall, I thought the play calling was fine today. You know, overall, I mean, you can always nitpick one here or there, particularly when it doesn't go your way on the final score. In the end, they put themselves in position to win the game twice, and they didn't come through. And that's, you know, bottom line. The L hangs.
That's it.
Let's go to Chip on the South Side next up here on the Scoreboard Show. Hi, Chip.
Hey guys, what's going on, man?
What's up?
Oh, you know.
Yeah, I know. I want to preface this first of all by letting you know that I've been a Jaguar fan since 1995. I mean, I've been there for the highs, I've been there for the lows. I even struggle watching the games to the bitter end when I don't want to watch it anymore, but I do. And I'm by no means am I a Patriot fan, but I want to make a statement about something you guys said before, which I understand is sort of the NFL culture now, which is sort of differential between the Patriots, and that is the Caldwell idea, which is a good idea of building a team from the draft up and building a team that will be together and bond together and be a bonding team, which is sort of the opposite path over 16 years of being relevant in the playoffs in the NFL that Bill Belichick has, which has never been, I'm going to build a whole group of guys around me. There's a great group of guys that back slap and fanny slap, and we're all a team together. His mindset is, you're here to do a job, and you're going to do the job, and you're going to plug somebody in, and you're going to pull somebody out. But you're going to fit in the scheme, and you can do exactly what I tell you to do. Now, granted, he's got a Brady. There is no question about that. That is an intangible, and that is an inexcusable thing to say that he wouldn't be successful without him. But I remember reading something about Tony Gonzalez being on the practice squad, and Belichick let him have it because he blew a play on the practice squad and didn't say a word to him afterwards, and Gonzalez was really
angry
about it.
Tony Gonzalez never played for Bill Belichick. Who are you talking about?
Gonzalez, Tony Gonzalez, tight end. He played for the Patriots.
No. Played for the Chiefs and then the Atlanta Falcons. Didn't play for Belichick. So, yeah. Good story. It's incorrect. But, I mean, look, Belichick gets results. It's fine. It's pointless to compare a guy who's won 4 Super Bowls with a guy who has won barely twice that many games in 2.5 seasons. But I don't care about the demeanor. It's not the demeanor, JP. Look at Pete Carroll's demeanor. He's as happy-go-lucky as anybody, and he's been to the Super Bowl the last 2 years, and he was one play away from winning back-to-back Super Bowls. It's not the demeanor of the coach. It's the results. You can win. Tony Dungy's demeanor was nothing like Bill Belichick's. You can win with different kinds of demeanors. As long as your players respect you, and I think the players do respect Gus, but he's not getting the results, and that's ultimately what you're judged on. You're not going to be judged on your demeanor, good or bad, one way or the other. So, you know, that aspect of the comparison I don't think is very, you know, helpful.
I was actually believing what he was saying until the Tony Gonzalez thing.
Yeah.
That kind of,
I mean, I don't know where that was going,
because
Tony Gonzalez didn't play for the Patriots or Belichick at any point in his career. So
yeah, no,
I don't know where that came from. But he maybe is confusing him with somebody else. He certainly wasn't on the practice squad of any team. Tony Gonzalez, a Hall of Famer from day one when he stepped on the field in the National Football League. He was one of the greatest of all time. Let's get Terrence downtown next up on the Scoreboard Show. Hi, Terrence.
Mike, JP. Hey, how y'all doing, man? Mike, I'm going to say this first. I met Fred, and I know he's probably listening, and, you know, I love him and a big fan of him. But come on, Fred, with the positivity now. I mean, he's him and Tony Boselli sound just alike. Now, I mean, they should be. Those are the two sunshine poppers now, and I don't want Fred to be that way. I mean, I love him. I understand what he, you know, he's trying
right.
to keep it positive.
I got it. And that's, and Terrence, honestly, I mean, that's Fred's prerogative, and that's Tony's prerogative, and, I mean, it's really not up to us to defend their point of view on how they choose to look at things. Fred is going to look for the positive. Fred acknowledges there are, clearly, you can't be happy about being 1-3, but he feels part of his role is to look for the signs of development and point them out when he sees them.
Right. Well, I'm telling you, you know what? I sometimes feel like a backstabber too, because Gus has given me hats down at practice. I got a couple of them from him. Man, but you got to protect the franchise. I mean, I love him. I wish him well. I really wanted to work out for him and Dave. I think Dave should be on the chopping block. I know y'all saying, you know, everything with Josh looked bad, you know, since he's been over at Pittsburgh. And that was a big move to me. Nobody knew he was going to go that far off the rail before this happened. So, I mean, to cut Josh and go with this guy when you know Gus Bradley neck is on the line. I don't think...
All right,
you know,
Terrence, if your argument's hung up on a guy that they cut who got cut within a month of being on his new team, it's not a winning argument, okay? Don't hang that decision.
Right.
You can't. Terrence, you can say my first name all you like. It's not going to change the point that they cut a guy who has since been cut already, despite the fact that the team who acquired him gave up a draft pick to get him. You can't tell me they made the wrong decision. Neither one of these guys has been any good this year. That's the bottom line.
Right, Mike. But, you know, I mean, you're in a different environment. I don't know.
All right.
I don't know if that plays a part.
Parents, whatever. I mean, honestly, it's pointless to if you're hanging it on why do we get rid of Scobie, then look, that's why, because he got cut again. They feel that he doesn't have the leg that this guy Myers does. Now, Myers, does he have the temperament to hit the big ones? He hasn't proven it yet, right?
Well, he won't beat Miami. That's the one.
How long was that field goal, though?
40, it was long.
It was like a 30-yarder. It was a chip shot. I mean, you better make that. I mean, it was shorter than the current extra point is right now. Yeah, it was a short field goal. Regardless, look, don't get hung up on the Scobie thing. It's pointless, honestly.
Yeah, you're right. 28 yards.
28 yards, right. You should
make
that
58-yarder.
You should make
that
100%
of
the time. He didn't look. He does a big kick, the 58-yarder, no doubt about it. But it wasn't.
But he didn't make it today.
The pressure kicks are the ones you got to make, and he didn't.
A road division game, that's a pressure kick. You got to make it. Let's take a timeout. Scoreboard show rolls along. Your calls, 355-NFL1, 355-6351. Reaction after the Jags fall in overtime in Indianapolis. 16-13, the Colts over the Jags. This is the Scoreboard Show on Jaguars Radio.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show continues right now.
A little more time left on the Scoreboard Show. Jags fall in Indy, 16-13 in overtime. JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, some other scores of games in action right now. Third quarter, 5:54 to play, 16-13 Browns over the Chargers. Packers lead the 49ers 14-3 midway through the third. Also midway through the third in Arizona, the Rams lead the Cardinals 10-9. Broncos over the Vikings 20-10. Peyton has a touchdown pass today. Those are the games in action right now in the National Football League in that 4 o'clock time slot.
Yes, they are.
They
got Twitter's ablaze.
Oh, yeah.
Phone lines are ablaze as well.
Oh,
and since it's a call-in show, let's stick with them for now.
Oh, great.
355-NFL1. 355-6351. You say that with so much sincerity, JP, that I'm really buying that. Let's go to Kevin in McClenny. Thanks for hanging on, Kevin. What can we do for you?
Hey, guys. Wow, you got some fired-up fans out there. First off, about Belichick. I want to talk about the kickers, but Belichick, he doesn't have the cleanest record.
All right, can we just keep it off Belichick and just focus on what?
Yeah, you know, Scobie got cut. Okay, well, Jason Myers missed some field goals. If you look at Scobie's kicks, the holder was more concerned about getting the laces lined up and not holding the ball.
Why are we talking about a guy who doesn't play for this team anymore? Who has been?
Well, I know, but
what's your point?
Jason Myers still has to work out things with Brian Anger, right?
No, I'm sorry. I don't think there's no issue with the hold to me. I mean, the ball, he missed two kicks. That's it. There's no working out anything. Make the kicks. The holds. JP, he missed three kicks. He got bailed out on a timeout by Chuck Pagano at the end of regulation. He missed that one horribly. I don't know if he knew the whistle had blown, but usually you go through and you kick and ignore everything that's going on around you. He missed that one wide. He missed the next one when he got a reprieve on that, and he missed the other one to the other side. So, you know, you could look at it that way, too. That had nothing to do with getting on the same page with Brian Anger, in my opinion.
Yeah, missed field goals.
He missed them. Right, he missed them.
He's a pro kicker. Missed field goals.
Right, you got to make
those.
That's
fine. Well, he made two others early, but he missed the two or three, if you want to look at it that way, late.
Right.
And those cost the team the game.
I mean, when you don't have a great margin for error, when it begins with you can't afford to miss kicks that are going to cost you victories. Let's go to Jason on the South Bank next up on the Scoreboard Show. Hi, Jason.
Hey, guys. I think a lot can be said about today's game, but I think Paul Simon said it best. You just hop off the bus, Gus. You don't need to discuss much. Just turn your keys, please, and let the Jag be.
Wasn't actually a bad little Weird Al version of Paul Simon.
Right. Yeah.
I got to give him that one. You know, he could have
He actually thought about it.
He could have gone, you can drop off the key, Lee,
right.
Meaning Marquise. Because
he's,
you know, if he chose to. But, all right, I'll give him a point for creativity.
At least he didn't whine about Belichick and Scobie.
Or Scobie. Right. So let's go to Clark in Arlington.
Just step
up next. Hi, Clark.
Hey, how's it going?
You tell us.
Oh, great.
What's up?
I just called up to say, just make really one point. This is the fan base of the Gators and the Seminoles. This losing is getting old.
That's the reason why it's getting old. That's the reason?
I don't know. Losing gets old because it's losing. You know? I mean, we're way beyond that stage.
I don't even know what to say.
Way beyond that. I have a few ideas, but
I'd rather not.
It's not my own
I like
show.
Working here, right.
Yes.
So let's take a timeout. One more segment left of the Scoreboard Show. If you don't get in, the fifth quarter with T-Wig and Hacker is coming up. Final moments for phone calls coming up. Jags fall in Indy in overtime. 16-13. This is the Scoreboard Show on Jaguars Radio.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show continues right now.
Final moments of the Scoreboard Show after the Jags fall in Week 4 in overtime to the Indianapolis Colts, 16-13. J.P. Shadrick, Mike Dempsey. If you don't get in, the fifth quarter show with T-Wig and Hacker. That's coming up next on 1010XL. What, it's 641-1010 is the number. You can get in with those guys.
Save all your Belichick-Scobie calls for those guys.
Yes.
We're done with the Belichick-Scobie calls.
They're eager to answer them, I'm sure.
You've done away with the hat. You've gone hatless now for the final segment.
It's a scene over here, man. Yeah,
it is. There's a little carnage going on right now in the studio.
You know,
I'll give you credit today because usually this is a two-computer job. You cut highlights throughout the course of the broadcast, and you have two computers going, and one of them went down on you today. And you just went smartphone and didn't miss a beat.
Hey, you got to play through it.
You're doing first and third quarter updates off the smartphone. I was very impressed.
I don't want to say I'm like Alan Hearns, but I'm kind of like Alan Hearns, playing through some things. You know, he's banged up a little bit. Had a big day. I don't know if I had a big day like that, but you play through it, man. It's adversity. You battle. It's how you handle adversity. You fight through it. And we did our best today, but we fell short.
I'll call you the broadcaster of the day.
I don't know about that.
That makes you.
I don't. Is that a participation trophy? What is
it? Well, no. I mean, somebody's got it. I mean, even in defeat, we picked the player of the game. That was Alan Hearns. And I'll give you broadcaster of the game.
You're a sunshine pumper. That's what you are.
I must be.
It sounds like you are.
Not in this room. not compared to my peers.
Yeah.
I'm not. All right. Let's. You know what? Tony will say this is my. British accent, but because it kind of is. Because we're going to go down under, Tony. We're going to go to Jimmy in Australia.
Crikey.
Checking
hey,
in. What's up, Jimmy?
How's it going, guys?
How are you?
Excuse the accent. First of all, I'm excited to see what Jeff does when he looks at the tape. Because while this one really hurt badly, I think that, like, from what I saw, the lines and the play of, you know, the young guys stepping up, I think we were a lot better. Like, this one hurts because we were the better team. Like, we blew. It wasn't just two kicks. We missed three because of that flag on the first attempt in regulation. We can do this. Like, this is not bad. This is a learning experience. I'm, like, not doom and gloom at all. Like, it hurts emotionally, possibly more than last week. In fact, definitely more than last week. Last week, we were outmatched. We weren't good enough and not even close. But today, we were the better team. That was our game that we lost rather than we couldn't snatch a win.
Hey, Jimmy, let me ask you, what time is it over there in Australia right now?
Actually, it's probably about 11 a.m. I'm actually in Canada.
Okay.
And I call in quite regularly.
It's
but
not,
I'm in
it's
Canada
not nearly
moment,
as exciting.
And
oh,
I'm on
come
West
on.
Coast time in Vancouver.
All right, buddy. We appreciate the call. Thanks for the
– a long way from home.
Thank you, man. We appreciate the positivity.
I thought it was like noon on Monday or something.
Look, this whole lot of good things to learn about. I was hoping there was at least one ocean and a whole other continent dividing – Jaguar Nation from Jimmy because they're coming for him with their pitchforks on that comment. And I think that is one thing. Look, I'm not saying you shouldn't learn from your mistakes, but that mantra of, hey, you know what? We're going to take a look at the tape. We're going to learn from this. We're going to correct our mistakes. We beat ourselves. Jags fans have heard it a lot, and it's beginning to fall on deaf ears, I think, to a large segment of the fan base.
Michael, this is a fitting way to end tonight's scoreboard show. This season, when the Jags kick a field goal of 40 yards or more, registered fans will score a free medium sub with the purchase of a sub, chips, and drink. To register, go to jaguars.com/firehousesubs. Myers hit two field goals today, one from 20, one from 32, but he missed, of course, from 53 and 48. Each one of those could have been a game winner. And that's the story of the Jags versus
fitting.
The Colts in week four.
You know what? You twisted the knife, but the knife was twisted in every Jag fan today, I think.
That's right.
You know, it was that kind of gut-wrenching type game. And I don't disagree with Jimmy. Today, certainly minus Andrew Luck, I thought the Jags were the better team. They needed to show that, though.
Yeah.
The scoreboard didn't reflect that. And in the end, you know, there's not an opinion poll that's going to vote them into the playoffs or into, you know, relevance later in the season or being mathematically in the mix. It's simply wins and losses, and they squandered a great opportunity today.
And they have one win and three losses heading to Tampa Bay next week, a 1 o'clock kick against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers down at Raymond James Stadium. We'll go on the air Sunday with a 10 o'clock Publix tailgate show, 12 noon rather, with countdown to kickoff on the Jaguars Radio Network, and of course coverage throughout the week here on 1010XL and on Jaguars.com. That all starts tomorrow. Should be an interesting one on Monday. Mike, well done, man.
Thank you, buddy. You too. Broadcaster of the day, JP Shatter.
I don't know. We'll try to get him next week. How's that? For Linda Fortunato, Tony Smith, Mike Dempsey, and everyone involved, this is JP Shadrick. Thank you for listening to the Scoreboard Show on Jaguars Radio.